stuff.
Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. And this is your show host, Randy Fine. I have a really interesting show for you today. Today we have with us Lynn Andrews. She is a best-selling author and renowned healer. She's here to talk about her new Sacred Vision Oracle Cards, which is a deck that connects the lessons of balance and harmony with gorgeous Native American artwork by celebrated artist Robert Taylor. And the deck takes readers on a journey to achieving inner peace. Lynn Andrews has been writing and teaching for over 30 years. She is recognized worldwide as a leader in the fields of spiritual healing and personal empowerment. A shaman, healer, and mystic, Lynn is widely acknowledged as a major link between the ancient world of shamanism and modern society's thirst for profound personal healing and a deeper understanding of the pathway to enlightenment. And we have her here with us today, and so let's get started. I will introduce you to my special guest. Good morning, Lynn.
Well, good morning, Randy. What a pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you. So, Lynn, I am not familiar with oracle cards, so can you explain to us what that is, what they are, actually?
It's teaching. As you know, I've written 21 books, and they've all been written, autobiographical books, in different parts of the world. When I was in Nepal and Tibet, a monk who had been silent for 30 years felt it important enough to break his veil of silence, and he showed me a Tibetan Bonpo being the religion of Tibet before the Buddhists, before Padmasambhava arrived in Tibet. And he showed me these oracle cards, and the oracle cards are teaching cards. So you may say, well, what's an oracle? Well, when we think of oracles, we typically think of the traditional oracle from ancient times, a high priest or priestess, maybe, who goes into a trance to commune with a deity, and they prophesy the future or reveal to us our divine purpose in life. In other words, someone outside ourselves who is supposed to give us the vision and wisdom that we seek. So here I am writing an oracle deck. So it's not an ancient deck of cards, but I believe, and so does Robert Taylor, who is the artist. He has a different painting on every one of the cards. We both believe strongly that the most profound voice of vision and wisdom you will ever experience is the voice that comes from within you and speaks to you of what is real and true for you, truths that maybe you don't even know that you carry until you see or read something that awakens them. So when you draw a card or put the cards around the sacred wheel, then you become your own oracle because you've embraced the voice of wisdom, that part of you that connects you with your God, goddess, and mover, however you see that in all of life. And rather than keeping you separate and apart, an oracle is something that unites you with the divine, in want of a better term for that. So, in a sense, then, I think that the Great Spirit is in all things, and all things are within the Great Spirit, and we are all part of the great oneness of life.
That was so well explained, and I'm really excited to use them. Sounds really amazing.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's amazing. It sounds like a really great way to connect with your higher self and your spiritual world. We have a few callers that I believe want to talk to you. Are you ready to take calls?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay, let's see. This is the caller from Area 201. Hi, what is your name?
It's Rose.
Hi, Rose. Did you have a question for Lynn?
Lynn, are you doing many readings with the cards?
Yes, and if you go on my website, lynnandrews.com, you can make an appointment for a reading if you like. I would love to talk with you.
Okay.
That would be grand.
But we're not doing them on air, Lynn, right?
Well, it takes too long, and you can certainly have me do that. But we have a lot to talk about because you work with a kind of narcissistic abuse. I come from a world where I see maybe 92-93% of the world is coming out of abuse. And
yes, you're right.
In that, you know, in that regard, you want to heal yourself. But so often, that aspect, abuse, is you go into it maybe psychologically. You see the puella and the pueriternis patterns that Jung talked about, et cetera. Don't realize that it's all part of spirit as well. You know, as you think, as you see yourself as a result of maybe a childhood that was very rough, you see the world through a veil, really. So it's important to tear that veil of ignorance away from your eyes so that you can begin to see who you truly are, but not who, not what somebody told you that you were through the process of abuse. So it's interesting to me, everybody that's listening, I was talking to Randy before the show, and she mentioned this, and I thought, boy, that's fascinating, because my shamanic school, it's a 4-year school that I've written the curriculum for, and this 4-year school is about self-discovery on the most profound, deepest levels that you can imagine, and it's a joyous time because you're letting go of the things that truly no longer belong to you, that belong to maybe a childhood that was very difficult.
That is really interesting that we connect on that level, Lynn.
Well, yes, it is.
It's very interesting. And And we will talk, you know, a lot about that afterwards. But you had asked me a question. You asked me, what's the difference between abuse and narcissistic abuse? The difference is that often abuse is something that we can see, remember, understand, relate to. We see, we feel abused. We sort of know why, maybe, in some sense. Maybe the person abusing us has their own problems. You know, maybe they like to just take everything out on us, whatever the situation. With narcissistic abuse, this is very, very covert, and it's done through brainwashing and psychological warfare. So it is. So the person who is experiencing the abuse does not know they're being abused. And it goes on, the longer it goes on, the more they become literally brainwashed and unable to think for themselves. And there's the motivation by the narcissist is what's called narcissistic supply. And I go into that very deeply in my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, A Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing. I explain everything about this kind of abuse, who is doing it, where it comes from, who they are, how they form, all the different relationships and how they're affected, and then how we recover from this, how we deal with it, and how we deal with the narcissist as well. And I talk about self-esteem issues and boundaries and things like that because it is so insidious and so deeply just stuck in our subconscious that it's very, very hard. But when you talked about the veil, that's really the conversation, and I do counseling with people globally. That's really the veil that gets lifted in the first conversation with me. Because once I expose and they realize exactly what they've been dealing with, they have no choice but to look at it for what it is. So that's kind of the abbreviated version, but I'll talk to you a little bit about it more, you know, later.
You know, the interesting thing is what you're saying, if I can just interrupt for a second.
Sure.
You know, people don't even know that they're abused. Oftentimes it wasn't physical. It was covert, very maybe on a subliminal level almost. And when you draw these cards, the other card deck that I did called the Power Deck was about taking your power and how, you know, it's a beautiful, very serene deck. This deck of cards is the Sacred Vision Oracle cards, and they are meant to quicken you. They're meant to wake you up. The paintings are very strong. And Native American, very symbolic in many, many ways. And they, you look at these cards and you don't just, you know, go, oh, well, you take a look at them because they are cards that were designed for you. If you've had what Randy is calling narcissistic abuse, anything like that, you have to, before you do a beautiful ceremony, a ritual, before you do anything in your life that is creative, that is coming through to you, sort of, in a way of speaking, you have to make sure that these veils have been lifted. Otherwise, it's very, very hard to see the truth, I think.
I agree with you. Yes, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that that's a misconception that many people have, especially in this day and age where with this positive thinking movement, where people think, oh, I'm just going to think this and everything's going to change in my life. But if we, like you said, if we don't get to the source of what has changed us as, you know, individuals and human beings and realize our full mental health potential, we're not going to be receptive to anything. So I do believe that it's really important, and I believe that our our connection was heavenly sent. So very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I do too. I'm
very
amazed.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm amazed
very
too.
Cool,
I mean, because this is such a far stretch from what I do, yet you're telling me it's so very much connected. So what is shamanism? And what
shamanism
do you do as a shaman healer? What do you do as a shaman healer? Yeah, tell us both.
Well, of course, when you're working with someone, it's always different because the issue is different. Shamanism, when you see the word, hear the word, you think of a tribal situation. But we're not in a tribe anymore. We're living probably in a city somewhere in the world. And life is not a few people living in a circle somewhere in the wilderness. We are dealing with the world as it stands today. So what is a shaman then? Why would you study it unless you're an anthropologist? You study shamanism because it teaches you about how to choreograph the energies in the universe. We are truly all one. We're all made out of the same substance. The only difference between, say, lead and gold is the arrangement of the molecules, the atoms, and the quantity. So we are all one. We're all the same, and yet we feel so vastly different. We feel very different from someone who has not been abused, for instance. So when I work with someone, we go deeply into your interior landscape. It's hard for me to describe. Shamans call it the unknowable. Castaneda, I don't know if you ever read Carlos Castaneda.
No.
But, you know, he was very, very famous at his time and very, very good at all this. And he used a word, the unknowable. Very hard to explain the unknowable. What is the unknowable? It is the abstract that really and truly is the heart of beauty and poetic beauty from words, from paint, from music. You have to learn, exercise the muscles that can understand beauty, because today we're not taught much about beauty. Mm-hmm. We're taught about how to do something, how to technocracy, and it's all wonderful. You know, I have no judgment on anything, but I am concerned about what is happening to you as a person. You know, how did you come through your early life? And how do you feel about it today? And do you even realize that there's a shadow there behind you that keeps, you know, following you? And you can say no to that shadow. You can tell that shadow to go away. You're no longer a child. You're an adult. But what's happening, if you don't know about all this, and I'm sure, Randy, you find this, is that you begin to sabotage your life. You pick the wrong partners. You pick the wrong work. And you don't know who you are. You're trying, but you're not getting any food for your soul. So in answer to you, what is a shaman? A shaman works with the mind and the heart to heal them both. And I don't heal them. You're the one that heals them. I hold up mirrors for you so that you can look in that mirror and go, oh, my God, I am doing that. And you change through that reference. You begin to change your life. And you become your own oracle. You draw a card for the day, say. And maybe a card for the day would say passion. And on the front of it, there's a great, gorgeous bird, and it's a macaw, and it's a southern jungle macaw. And the card says, there's a painting on the front, and on the back is a teaching. So on the back, it says, take time to appreciate and enjoy the sweetness of life. Light the fires of passion in your belly and in your heart, where when you are down, you may have to look up for inspiration. You may have to look at your life in a new way and make some sacrifices to gain the treasures that are waiting for you. Are you holding yourself back? Most people, I think, hold themselves back in one way or another. And so I would say sing and chant and listen to the music of nature. Heal your negative feelings. Remember that in the darkest night, you can see the most stars. And, you know, the teaching goes on from there. So it creates new, you know, imagery in your mind so that you can go out for the day with a new point of view. I always think it's important to have a point of view for the day.
That's great. You know, I must have intuited this somehow, because I normally don't go out in the morning and take a walk, but this morning I did. And as I was walking around my neighborhood, I live in Florida, and so there's palm trees and all kinds of tropical plants and everything like that. And I've lived here for 12 years, so I don't even see it half the time unless I deliberately look at it. And today I made myself look at it. And I talked to myself the whole way, and I said, look how beautiful this is. Look where you live. Look how gorgeous this is. Look at this day. You know, and I never do that. So you came through to me, Lynn,
somehow.
You know,
I did the same thing.
Did you?
It's so funny. You live – yeah, I live – I moved from Beverly Hills about 15 years ago so that I would have a place for my horses to retire and be taken care of till I passed on. And I had, you know, many horses. So I brought them out here, and I am in the desert of Phoenix, or North Scottsdale, Arizona, up against the mountains, but it is a high desert. So it is very different from Florida. You're in humidity, and this is a very dry place.
Right.
And it, my daughter said, Mom, the reason you love it so is because it used to be the bottom of the sea. And I had to laugh because I've been raised on water my whole life. I was born in Seattle and lived on Lake Washington for many years and then moved down to Beverly Hills where my mother's family was from. And, you know, we're always very close to the ocean. And I've never been inland like this. And I ache for the water a lot of the time.
Wow.
But here I am.
Here you are. Here you are. We have another caller. Let's see if this caller would like to talk to you and if they have a question that's relatable.
Okay. Sure.
This is area code, let's see, which one am I at? 850, right? Hi.
Oh, that's me. I live in Florida.
That's you. You live in Florida.
No.
Okay. Hi. Did you have a question for Lynn, or were you just listening in?
Well, any type of spiritual messages would be great. I'm just kind of stressed out. I've got my boyfriend who is my rock, but at the same time, he kind of stresses me out because he's insecure and jealous. And like, if I'm doing something with my daughter, you know, he'll make a remark. Well, why didn't you have time to go do it? You've had all kinds of time. I'm like, no, I'm trying to help her talk to the recruiter, getting her in the military. And then I take care of my stepmom who has Alzheimer's. And then I've got my real mother who's in the hospital and wants me to take her in. And I'm like, I have no more room. And then
I'm trying to take care of my daughter.
So
today, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Today we're talking about the Oracle cards and with Lynn Andrews. We're not really doing readings, but if you have issues that you would like help on, this is what I do, and you can actually make an appointment and talk to me by going to randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com, and then going to Fine Life Issues Counseling, and I would be more than happy to talk with you and your issues, okay? So thank you. I'm going to put you back on hold.
Okay.
Okay, so we can continue, Lynn.
Okay, I was
Lynn?
Just saying that I work with people also. I've written many books, and I have a writing school and a regular shamanic school, online courses. But I also do personal readings and work with people. And, you know, it was funny, when that caller called in, I wanted to tell her that the mountain spirits speak, telling you of their ancient memories. You walk around the stones of a sacred fire called your life, and you sense the breath of your ancestors in the purple smoke. They wish to transform your doubt and your pain. There is a ceremonial chant loud in your brain, and the dancers, like the sacred dancers of old, are pulling you into ceremony. They are the equivalent of the Great Spirit, here to remind you of the creation of life and death. You open your prayers as a sacred hoop of your life and offer them to the winds of time caressing the world. A great warrior appears and descends on the mountain pathway to join you. You have made a sacrifice in your life. What is it? He asks. What is your life's greatest truth? And how do you express it? Is your truth held in your pain, or is it hidden within the butterflies that softly lead your transformation?
Hmm.
And
beautiful.
That corresponds to the painting on the card. And so I work with, as you do, Randy, you work with a situation, all of everyone is so very different, and you've experienced things differently than perhaps I have or Randy has. But there are different ways to approach that. And as you said earlier, once you see and name it, yes, I was abused. Most people will say, oh, I wasn't abused, because it wasn't, you know, somebody beating you or sexually attacking you. But once you realize that emotionally people can tear you to pieces or covertly tear you to pieces, then you begin to realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, I do have something to deal with here. And I think that's what we're both saying.
Yeah, and it's so true because I was, I had a narcissistic mother, so I grew up in this environment, and I really never knew I was abused. I made really bad choices in my life, bad relationships, things like that, and my life was really just a total disaster. And it came to the point where I was sort of at an impasse, and I had to say, what is this about? And what I discovered was, so I went to the library and I stood there and I'm like, some book, please. I stood in front of spiritual and self-help and something speak to me. And this book jumped out and it was called Women Who Love Too Much. And I read this book and I realized that I was seriously codependent and causing all the issues in my life. That was the biggest wake-up call. So it was really me making the choices that were creating the problems for me. And and that's when I was able to start unraveling things.
There are listeners from my world that are listening, and I'm sure they're saying, when you say codependence, what are you saying?
Okay, so I'm talking about a relationship codependency. I'm talking about where you have been raised to that in order to keep your world emotionally safe, your job is to please other people. And what you do is you basically enmesh in these relationships. And as you get older, it gets to the point where you feel like your entire life is about helping and fixing people. And you believe that there's nothing to you if you're not helping and fixing people. So there's a lot of people out there that get into relationships because, and they know that they're not going to be great, but they know that there's something about that person they want to fix. And they believe that that's really all they have to offer. And the mantra of the relationship codependent is that love will conquer all. And it's really a blind way to go into relationships. But it doesn't really show up until you start with your adult relationships and you start seeing the way that you relate to people. So it's not as if you are an independent in this relationship or looking for an equal kind of interchange. You're looking to fix the other person at any cost, at any cost.
Which is the cost of your finding joy that feeds your soul.
Yes, yes, yes. And so I was seriously codependent, and I searched out relationships with very dangerous people that I tried to fix. And I believed if I loved enough that I could make it all better, and it was very delusional. But and I also had a problem with enmeshment. I didn't have boundaries. I didn't know where I let off and others began. And that's a problem with a lot of people, and it stems from childhood issues. So when we get into these kind of relationships and they're not working for us, it's often something about us. And as a matter of fact, people who have narcissistic personality disorder are drawn like magnets to people who have codependent issues, and it just makes sense. So that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I've worked with people all over the world. I've been on 20-some book tours, and you go everywhere in the world and you sign books, but you also, I also took the time to work with people. And I was in Taiwan recently, and I was working there for a couple of weeks with mostly the women. And the women were having so much really painful difficulty because of the way the society is set up. You can't leave a husband, say, that is abusive to you. You have to have permission. And, of course, the abuse is so often, no, I won't let you go.
Right.
And these people are imprisoned in situations. So I have seen all over the world people coming out of abuse. So, and it's very, very hard sometimes to name that. And I'm not a psychologist. I am a spiritual teacher, although I've had a huge background in psychology. But I see the marriage of the mind and the heart. And
yes.
The dark marriage of someone who has been abused with someone who sabotages their life.
Yes.
And once you understand this, it's like little baby steps, isn't it? I mean, you begin to work on it. You begin.
Yes.
But it's always through the process of experience that you learn, I think. And so I've written all these books about my life in Australia and with in the monasteries in Tibet and Europe and South America and so forth. And I always worked with women of power and often elder women of power who had great magic, great, exquisite, joyous beings. And they would teach me various things. I would go down to work with Soila in the Yucatan, and I learned about my own lack of self-worth. But she didn't tell me about it. She put me through an experience. I was living with her in a hut, we awakened very early one morning, and we were sleeping in hammocks, and she got me up, and we went down through the jungle after having a little bit to eat, and the jungle floor was very slippery, and I had huaraches on, which are sandals, and I was slipping in and out of those. In other words, the footing was not the greatest. And I said, so I thought, where are we going? She wouldn't say anything to me. And here she is, this elder woman. She's walking just fine. And I'm slipping and sliding and trying to keep up with her. And finally we get to a precipice. And we're standing there with our toes kind of over the edge, looking down into a deep canyon called La Caldera. And she said, she looked at me and she said, come, follow me. And I look ahead at this little tiny trail down this, you know, around the edges high. We're thousands of feet above the bottom of this caldera. And she said, come, follow me. And I was supposed to follow on this little trail. I could hardly walk on a big trail. And she said, you will come, or we will never dream you again. We work a great deal with the sacred dream time. And these women are women of high degree, and they are there to teach about certain things. And she was to teach me about my lack of self-worth. And many years ago, it's in a book called Jaguar Woman. And I realized that I would be finished in my work with these extraordinary women if I didn't do as she told me. And I thought surely I would die, terrified at that time of height.
Yeah.
So I kind of plastered myself against the walls of the La Caldera and, you know, gingerly, you know, walking way behind her, trying to keep up with her. And finally, she got tired of waiting for me, came back on the trail, and she said, I've left you a gift, and it's in a nicho on the way down. I'll see you at the bottom. So I go along, seems like hours, and find this nicho. And, you know, this is dark earth and rock. I don't know what kind of rock, but probably some granite and so forth. Anyway, she had left me a magnificent ruby. And
ooh,
this ruby is part of the ceremonial world that we live in. And I looked at it. It was so beautiful, you know, sitting in that rough, you know, dirt. And this brilliant, gorgeous piece of work. And I looked at it and my heart just fell, and I thought, I can't take this. I'm not worthy of this. And I left
wow.
it there. And
oh,
I walked on down. And to make a very long story short, I got stuck in quicksand, and she wouldn't pull me out of the quicksand until I realized how stupid I was being by not acknowledging, you know, the things that I had accomplished, the extraordinary world that I had been living through and living through very well. I thought, well, anybody could do this. And so I was taught, literally, through that experience about my own lack of self-worth and what it meant to take my power and become, you know, the woman I was intended to be. Of course, I almost died in the process, but I made it.
That is such a phenomenal story. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful.
Oh,
wow, what a great
story. You're welcome.
What a great story. So I know everyone listening who does not have your deck and is not aware of this, of these cards, how do they go about getting it?
You call at this moment, you go to my website, lynandrewsauthor.com or lynandrews.com, and you go to Shaman Shopping. It's my new, a little shop that you can go into and buy my books and the cards or the Sacred Vision Oracle cards, or you can call up Amazon.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Number one on their list right now, and order it from them.
Oh, well, that's way too easy. Okay. So So no one has an excuse to not be able to.
And it's very important to go up on my website, and just sign up for my newsletter. It's free, and if you sign up for it now, there'll be a free gift for you, and I can send you information. You know what I'm doing. We do events, and I do teachings everywhere. We're on our way to Hawaii at the end of November.
Nice.
Yeah, we go. This is our 17th year. And talk about a beautiful place to learn in. And anyway, we've been doing it a long time, and that's an intimate event. And I have my school, and, you know, it's funny. Because of the mystery school that I have, which is the real healing school, I think, that I know of. Thousands of people have gone through it, and they have shifted their lives into a beautiful harmony. Mm-hmm. But I also find that people have a story, and they want to write about it, but they don't know how. So I have a writing school that is also quite wonderful. If you're interested in the process of writing, but writing from your emotions, writing from your creative soul. I'm not too interested in syntax and all the different qualifications for a paragraph. I'm very interested in you and how you express yourself.
Exactly.
Lynn,
I have to stop you because we are out of time. And like I said, will connect outside of the show. But I want to thank you so much. This has been amazing. I just can't even believe that we've met. And I love what you have to say. I can't wait to see the cards. And thank you for your perspective and sharing it to my listeners and to your listeners. So I will be in touch shortly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
At your back.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful. It's beautiful. Okay, have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day.
You too.
We are out of time for today.
I want to read your book.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about that when I call you right after the show.
Yes.
So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And as always, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com, or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.